Chris, there are two places where you can't get away from anything that would be Frank Sinatra. That's Los Angeles, here where we are, and Las Vegas.
Yes.
There are symbols and signs and remembrances of the guy everywhere. Everywhere. When you did your episode on him, where did you go and what were you looking for?
Well, we went to a couple places. We went to Cal Neva Lodge that he used to own. And we had some amazing things happen there. I mean, I got a lot of EVPs, and we had some good experiences. We also did a seance. We also went to Thunderbird Lodge, which was right there on Lake Tahoe, because allegedly it's believed that Frank had snuck out there a few times and played cards. Now, Thunderbird Lodge was amazing. Amazing. The power and energy of the spirits that are there was owned by a gentleman named George Wattel. And I'll tell you what, we ended up going back there for a one-hour special because it was so active.
What did you pick up? Tell me.
Well, what we had picked up was the energy that is there, as George would tell, is very powerful. He can make physical contact. And when I say physical contact, he can push you, he can pull on you. I, ironically, when I was outside, had thought I was picking a place memory near the well, so I opened myself up. Well, he slipped right in. I literally was, like, knocked out. I mean, I fell over, and then he started speaking through me. He says, like, you know, why are you here? You know, get out of here. And, I mean, I was shocked because I'd never had a spirit just have its way with me, just, you know,
and you
take
think
over.
That this was Sinatra?
This was not Sinatra. This was this. We were looking for Sinatra, and this was actually the spirit George Wattel at Thunderbird Lodge. Now, Sinatra was a tricky character to try to get a hold of. We went to the Golden Nugget, this casino that he used to
one of the old ones
perform at, yeah. And I was very fortunate to spend the night in the suite that he had. Gorgeous place, by the way. Gorgeous. And while I was there that night, I picked up a place memory of him getting angry, throwing glasses against the wall.
Really?
And that type of stuff. Like, does he know who I am? And he threw it against the wall, and you can hear the woman upstairs, you know, going, Frank, Frank, settle down. He's like, I don't care. You know, I'm not going to let him get away with this. And he was screaming and yelling right by the bar area. So that was pretty interesting. What was interesting was when we went to Cal Neva, which was after we filmed that, about a couple days later, a gentleman that was giving us a tour of Cal Neva said that Frank would have these tirades and would throw glasses against the windows and walls. And I'm like, you're kidding me. And he's like, no. And I'm like, that's what I picked up at the Golden Nugget. Well, during the seance for Frank Sinatra, he was a hard person to get a hold of. I had an Indian spirit that came through, a couple other spirits. But ironically, all of a sudden, this tunnel opened up, this dark tunnel that I saw in my mind's eye, and he was at the end of it. And very quickly, very demanding, he was like, what do you want? He's like, get out of here. And that was it.
Get out of here?
That was it. And I was just like, but we came all this way. I want to talk to you. And then he was gone, and then all of a sudden Sammy Davis Jr. came through. You know, and when I told the director after this, you know, everything that I got, he said, well, we can't use that. He's like,
The Rat like, Pack was coming through, huh?
Yeah, but I'm like, but that's what happened. He's like, well, no, we can't use that part. We don't want him to think that the spirits don't want to talk to us. Well, they didn't. Frank didn't want to talk to us.
And he was just as gruff in the spirit world as he was in real life.
Exactly. It was amazing.
Why do these prominent people, these famous people, why do they not move on?
I don't know. No, I do know. I'm sorry. You know, Marilyn Monroe and James Dean, they're stuck here. Okay? Now, John Lennon, when we were looking for John Lennon, I did not get him on camera. I got him off camera when I was sitting in the car at the Dakota Building. All of a sudden, I'm just sitting there relaxing. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to take a nap before we start filming. And all of a sudden, whoosh, I just felt this energy come over me, and there he was. I saw him. You know, my eyes closed. I saw this bright image of him just standing right there in my mind's eye, and I felt him just talking to me. And some of the things he described was personal that I really can't talk about on the show here because it's meant for me. But amazing soul. He's had many lives. He's high spiritual level, very high. He's learned how to cross over, go back and forth. And, of course, you know, obviously he cares about Yoko Ono and his son. But he's very concerned about what is going on this planet right now. And that's one message I can share with you. So, You know, some of them are different spiritual levels. Like Houdini could not cross over. During the seance, we could not get a hold of him, and I was told not to say anything in respect to the Blood family, who was descendants of Houdini, that don't channel, don't do this, don't do that. You know, and I'm like, okay. So I sat at the table, keep my mouth shut. Now, at no point did I feel like I could channel his spirit, but when Dorothy Dietrich was getting upset because, once again, he didn't come through, I knew exactly why. And I saw this image of Houdini looking down from wherever he's at going, I can't cross over. He's gone to such a high spiritual level that he's not able to come back. And he doesn't want to come back because he's so busy with what he's doing. And he felt sad. He's like, I'd love to, but I can't.
Do you remember when he died right before that?
Mm-hmm.
He had always told his wife, Bess,
right,
that he wanted to come back, that
right,
there'd be a symbol. He was, of course, obsessed with trying to find his mother.
Right.
I wonder if he ever did by going.
That I can't answer because that's not the message I got. But I'll tell you right now, he can't come back. I don't know why. I just think he's at such a high level that he's not capable of.
Now, is that a good thing for a spirit, that you can't come back?
I don't know, because I do believe that, and from what I've heard from some of these spirits, as well as other people investigated, that there's many spiritual levels. And when you get to the highest level, I guess you get so close to when you were created and where you came from, that there's no reason to be concerned or be involved with the physical anymore.
Do you try to help some of these spirits that are earthbound?
Yes.
Or stuck here to move over?
Lot of these things you don't even see on camera because they edit it out. They don't show it. Because we always come in contact with spirits. I've sent many over, and I hope so, and I believe I have, that I've sent them over. And the most amazing one, I think, was at Boot Hill Cemetery Graveyard in Tombstone, Arizona, for John Wayne. This one spirit, I said, he was an unknown body that was buried there, and he didn't know who he was. And I told him about the light, and he seemed to remember it. I said, I'll send you over. And all of a sudden, I felt this cold figure hug me, and I start crying. Because I felt the love and the joy of it wanting to go to the other side, going, you'll do this for me, you'll send me over. So I sent them over, and all of a sudden there's three more spirits standing right next to me that wanted to go over,
they
so I sent them
too.
Over. And I'll tell you, George, I started crying, and I was like, this is what it's all about. I mean, it's helping them, contributing with what I'm doing. This is for the people. This is for people that are living to understand and open up to this and not be afraid. And this is for the spirits that are still trapped that I come in contact with, to assist them, because no one's paying attention to them.